Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, December 28th, 2010, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-host, Lavendar. Tonight, Lavendar is going to pull the story of Atlantis out of the vault. It's a view of the Atlantean culture that will activate remembrance for many of you, as Lavendar describes the Atlantean use of crystals, the music of the spheres, the seven rays of color, and harmonics. Maybe you'll be surprised at the identities of the players back then, or maybe not. She'll also talk about the upcoming Teton meetings, where several galactic councils convene twice a year to discuss the state of the planet and their plans to guide us. Lavendar will then introduce her surprise guest, after which questions or comments from callers on these topics will be welcomed. Later in the second half of the show, we'll have our weekly Belvelation from our resident health expert, Belva Bloomer. We're also grateful to have our friend Mystic handling the switchboard to help organize our ever-growing amount of callers. And please be mindful of others who will also be waiting with questions, and try to keep your questions and comments concise. We'd like to thank Sierra for co-hosting in the chat room today for those who can't call in with questions. For those who can, the call-in number is 917-889-8292. Then press 1 if you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. Before I introduce Lavendar, I'd like to mention that if you register for free here at Blog Talk Radio and click the word follow at the top of our page, you'll get an email notice when our next show is coming. All of our past shows are available on demand at blogtalkradio.com/starseedradioacademy. Once you're on our page, notice at the bottom where it says previous episodes. You have to click there to access the older shows. If you're new to our show, you've missed a lot of chapters, so we highly recommend listening to all of them, since they're interconnected with critical information for Starseed that you won't find elsewhere. Also, Starseed Radio Academy is now available on iTunes. You can download shows to go, and it's all free. It's a great way to catch up on chapters you may have missed when you're away from home. But it's best not to listen to our podcast while driving. If you haven't visited our main site yet, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our vault of knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. Try hovering your mouse cursor over some of the images for special messages. On our headline news page, there's a Christmas gift for you. If you didn't get it yet, it'll still be there for the next few days. But please wait until after the show to open your present. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. That would be starseedhotline.ning.com. If you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. And now I'd like to welcome my co-host, Lavendar.
Hello. Hello, and I'm really excited to have everyone listen tonight to our story of Atlantis. I pulled it out of the vault and I said, you know, it's probably time to talk about Atlantis. Also, I'd like to say that last week I made a Mercury retrograde, you know, blunder. I said that Dark Skies, the video that was coming out, I said December 18th. It's really January 18th when the sun is 26 Capricorn. And so I wanted to correct that.
Okay. Well, you had the star date right. You just didn't have the word of the month right. But that's okay. I'm sure that everybody is up to speed now. So, do you want to talk about Atlantis first and then the Teton meetings?
Yes, please.
Okay. Here we have for you this week's episode from the vault called Atlantis Revealed.
Today I felt I need to pull more things out of the vault to read. So the first one that I'm going to read today was written April 4th, 1987, on the island of Aruba. Subject: Music of the Spheres. One of the reasons that we have music on Earth is because in the making of creation everywhere, there are harmonics that come together and blend in Creator's energy fields. It is this orchestration of harmonics that brings forth life on every level. Harmonics can be used for creative or destructive measures concerning the use of music. As man's consciousness changes on the planet, so does the music that he composes as well. At higher levels of awareness, the music of the spheres can be heard and felt. Many just feel it and never hear it in their consciousness, which is why some composers rely heavily on alcohol or drugs to receive glimpses of the music of the spheres. The frustration of trying to bring back to Earth their experiences of these celestial levels usually contributes to the mental and nervous breakdowns of many talented musicians. Music can calm and soothe the soul. Some magnificent works have been delivered by that great conductor of the sky over many centuries. Masters from other planets decided to come to Earth to bring music to the people, and it is through their efforts and their unselfish love nature that music has been refined to co-creative space. It has saddened some departed masters, not saddened in the Earth sense, but saddened in the galactic sense, that some music has been devised to break the will and the spirit of man on the planet. It was never designed for this purpose. It was to help man and contribute to his or her physical, emotional, spiritual, and psychic nature. It was to extend energies that would contribute on every level of awareness to every luminous fiber of their being, a power of creative God space. It was to help them remember that through harmonics lies the keys to God manifestation. It was not brought forth for man to dominate or to control others, but to help uplift others so that when time would be right, that everyone everywhere could fly free in co-creative God consciousness. Music can be coded. Repeat, music can be coded. It is this reason that we bring you this date, this information today about music. There are some songs that have within them harmonics when heard that set off a chain reaction among people. Notice what the song We Are the World did to so many around the globe. It was a magnificent feat of accomplishment on many levels of awareness. It carried with it energies of oneness, unity of purpose, and great healing vibration. Music is definitely the strongest and most powerful common denominator among your people. When used properly and responsibly, it can help transform the entire world. When used improperly, it can contribute to the downfall of man through his search for peace and contentment. Yes, music is universal. But think of it also as being celestial and galactic, and that other advanced life forms also use it in their experiments with other planets. This takes place through a process that you would call coding. Certain combinations of harmonics, when brought together, set forth spirals of invisible energy that can accelerate or deteriorate cellular blood coatings in the physical body. Part of the plan of Experiment 3 from the Pleiadians consisted of many factors, one of which had to do with the coding of the blood, which could be empowered or destroyed by harmonic vibrations in certain harmonic states. Not only the Pleiadians, but other species as well use this method of instructing levels of awareness. Some species have been known throughout the universe to enslave entire planets with the power of vibrational music. This has been considered one of the strongest violations of cosmic law ever devised by co-creator gods. Look at some of the music that is being played today on your planet. Some are degrading to the human spirit and plummet the children of your world into despair and depressional states of existence. Many suicides now can be traced back to destructive vibrational music. Drugs may contribute, but the coding is so precise and is targeted to some carrying certain kinds of blood coding. These beings who have contributed these distortions of vibrational music want to help keep the planet in bondage and away from interstellar commerce with other planets. Think of it as a cosmic chess move to keep Earth from rightly joining other sister planets in the solar system. Yes, Earth is in its kindergarten stage of development and not as advanced as some of the other neighboring planets. It is for that reason that some have volunteered to come to Earth either as a star person, walk-in, or light worker. The need for assistance became well known through the entire galaxy, and millions have joined in this galactic effort to help planet Earth evolve into a more balanced state. Not only is work being done directly on the grid system in Mother Earth, but strong support is being extended on many levels of awareness to the people. This is one reason that music is such an intricate part of the gigantic balancing procedure. Without the proper vibrational patterns of music, it cannot be done. Know that. Take a long look at that concept. Believe it. It is part of every life form on your planet. One of the reasons that Atlantis was destroyed was because of the misuse of power in many areas. But the misuse of vibrational music contributed heavily to the final decision to wipe Atlantis off the face of the Earth, and wiped it was. For thousands of years, it has remained buried under the Atlantic Ocean, with very little physical evidence surfacing to acknowledge the possibility that such a continent even existed. How could such an advanced race of people destroy themselves? What was the contributing factor behind the scrubbing of an entire species? What cosmic laws were broken? And who were the souls that lived then? Are they back now? These are some of the questions that we would like those reading this to ask themselves. If you have lived at that period of time, then what was your contribution to this action? That should raise the hair on the back of your necks, for almost all of you have been connected to Atlantis in one form or another, if not directly, then indirectly through others that you have known and loved on this planet. No one ever really escapes the memories of Atlantis. In the last days of Atlantis, a group of scientists got together and decided that the people should be controlled by vibrational music. A device was engineered to wear on the head. It consisted of quartz crystal, ruby, gold, silver, and copper. Everyone was to wear this device, and if they didn't, then punishment would ensue. It was the theory of the High Council of Elders that Atlantis would become a more productive country if energies could be controlled through orchestrating the people, and certain music was designed to enhance the daily workers that kept all parts of the country in operation. The people liked the music and looked forward to the new and visualization vibrational patterns. They didn't mind this kind of control, not really. They felt better and became model citizens, and growth and advancement was visible. So the practice of wearing the headsets became as normal as one wearing clothes. The masses just never thought that that headset that they were wearing every day would contribute to the downfall of one of the most advanced civilizations such a planet has ever known. Had they even suspected that it would be turned on them, maybe, just maybe, the story of Atlantis would have been different. When Poseidon became king, who in your present knowing as John Fitzgerald Kennedy, the land of Atlantis was an outpost to some neighboring planets, and many species came to visit Atlantis and its people. It was an experiment of sorts, yes. Just think of it as a huge experiment that got carried away with itself. Poseidon was Pleiadian in blood coding and ruled for a very long time. He was a gracious and kind king, but ruled his people in such a way that they would have laid down their lives for him had he asked it. Later, when he was Abraham Lincoln, he asked it in the war between the North and the South. And later, when he was John Kennedy, he asked it for Vietnam. He had many children and was dearly loved by all except one, his oldest, Orpheus Marcus, who now is incarnated as Ronald Reagan, your present President of the United States of America. When Poseidon died, Orpheus Marcus took the throne, and it was not his father's wish that he do so. But when Poseidon was poisoned with an extraterrestrial substance, then he had no say about the matter. This poisonous substance had far-reaching effects even after the death of the physical body. The soul experienced explosions of energy similar to magnetic storms of the sun. There is no other way to describe this. Now, more detail about the building and the music in Atlantis. The buildings had music coming from the walls. As a person walked on quartz cobbled streets, the music in the headset would be stimulated by the energies of the quartz and the streets. There was a substance similar to mortar between the quartz stones that would keep the people from getting tired and also help further the coding of the music. People's dispositions and attitudes were all controlled by vibrational conditioning through music, color, and subliminal brain control. As long as the people were peaceful and happy, everything seemed to be going just fine. When Orpheus Marcus took over, he commissioned some scientists to further their experimentation, and through his lack of discernment and love of power, he helped to destroy all of the good works of his father. Scientists discovered chemicals that would speed up a person's energy pattern and other chemicals that would slow them down. And today, scientists have come close to duplicating these drugs, but not exactly. Orpheus Marcus decided to change a few laws to suit himself and declared that the law of Warren should be abolished, along with women having any rights whatsoever. He also destroyed the marital system and allowed a man to have more than one wife. He started to destroy within himself, first, all his spiritual knowledge and reasoning, and later extended those beliefs to his people. With control of their minds, bodies, and souls, he was able to program an entire race of people the way he wanted them to be. Later, after several years, he started changing the DNA and the RNA code of the people, and helped to create monsters that were half human and half animal, the Things, as they were called. Mutations started to happen with much regularity. Celestial messengers came to warn him of his evil doings. They told him that if he did not reverse his era, that forces would be let loose that would destroy the entire country. This he did not believe, as he was totally consumed with his power and was, by this time, a drug addict and could not be reasoned with at all. Another use for the headsets was of an educational value. People would go to various learning centers for their education. They would enter by using a punch card that would keep records of how many times they visited the learning center. When one would return, he would have to show the card because one could not go there too often. This would cause a mental breakdown if misused. One would simply lay back in a special chair that would align the body to different electromagnetic fields. The headset would be placed with a quartz crystal over the third eye. A disc would be placed in the headset, and music, color, and sounds would enhance the vibrational conditioning of the learning process. This kind of learning was fed at harmonic rates that caused very high levels of awareness to take place. What would take 1 year to learn in reading could be obtained in minutes at this very accelerated rate of comprehension. This is how the education of the people was conducted. After the session was over, the headset would be worn with certain music reaffirming everything that was beamed from the headset earlier. It was through this educational manner that discs were tampered with and the distortions were set in motion. People had given up their free will in order for a saner society to develop. Once the will was gone, they were nothing more than robots waiting for instruction or destruction. There were a few that had their wills, and it was through them that a rebellion started. Some left and even went to other countries. Atlantis was an experiment that failed. The perfect society was, in the end, a disgusting, demonic, grotesque misuse of power. All that had participated in this atrocity would have other lessons to learn. Eventually, when the cosmic calendar returned, they'd be placed together with the same leaders, the same scientists, but with a different script. This is happening now, as we speak to you this day of your counting. So you see how and why music is so important at this time, especially since thousands of people walk around with Walkmans on their heads. Music has been composed to destroy the youth of your planet. Know how to recognize this music and when to say no to this music. Know that dark forces will infiltrate your consciousness through this music. Take a stand now and be not a part of composing, writing, distributing, or playing these discords that will help destroy the spiritual nature of mankind. On the other hand, there are those composers who are writing brilliant harmonics and are readily lifting up the spirits of people everywhere. The music of the spheres belongs in another dimension. That is true. And there are those that have access to this dimension now and are bringing it forth with celestial messages. This message was brought to you by Navitar aboard the starship Bethlehem. So as we continue further with the vault material, this was written at the same time in Aruba, and this one is the subject matter is flower essence, star seeds, etc. During the last 30 years of Atlantis, the mad scientists took it upon themselves to create monsters within the plant and animal kingdom. Experimentations of genetic engineering between animals and humans produced a breed later known as the Things. These were pathetic creatures, for they were torn between the human and animal world. Their emotional nature could not be trusted, and so they eventually were destroyed or taken off the planet. An offshoot of these experiments filtered into Egypt, and some of these descendants were depicted as half-man, half-animal, and many Egyptian statues show half-bird, half-man, half-lion, half-man, half-cow, half-man, etc. About the same period of time when the mad scientists were experimenting with plants and animals, another group of scientists had developed ways to use the great crystal. They soon learned how to control the weather by their manipulation of the crystal. A power struggle began even among the scientists, and soon the weather became a chess game. When the balance of nature was disturbed by man's meddling, then the forces of nature banded together and retaliated against the Atlanteans. The flower and plant divas, mineral divas, water divas, and the wind god all worked together to destroy the ones who had caused disturbances within the nature of their being. Among the Atlanteans were those of high spiritual nature, and many had learned to communicate with the spirit divas. They learned of the coming disaster, and many left Atlantis in mighty ships by sea and air. In this exodus, they took plants and flowers to other parts of the world for survival. These enlightened Atlanteans also buried coated crystals next to the plants and flowers, and also next to rock structures to help in the balance of the planet. When the upheaval came, thousands upon thousands of spirit divas were saved from destruction. Before the misuse of the Tao stone, or the great crystal, there were high priests that coated crystals with energies and frequencies of perfect balance. It was these crystals that were taken and buried around the world. They help calm the spirit divas of the planet and mineral kingdom. They also resonated to the crystal pyramidal grid system and ley lines that help keep the magnetic balance of the planet. Because of man's misuse of power during the times of Atlantis, it became necessary to secret away information concerning the spirit diva kingdom. A great treaty came forth, and it was decided by celestial forces that rule this planet that the mysteries of the divic world would be only revealed at a much later time and to only those that had not misused power in the past. And so it is now that those who once communicated with divas of the plant and mineral kingdoms are among some of your people on Earth. Some have a natural tendency to communicate with flora and fauna already. Some have not been activated to their purpose as of yet, but it should not be long until their destinies will be revealed to them. There is a great need at this time for these people to be awakened to their natural ability to communicate with nature. For a calling has gone out once again to help bring balance between nature and man. These mediators of nature to help bring balance between, well, these mediators of nature can help bridge the gap between nature spirits and man. Some have walked in during the November 1819 period in order to set up systems of activation for these beings to be awakened to their mission. It is now important for starseed walk-ins and lightworkers to learn the art of communication with the divas of nature. This art must also be taught to the New Age children, for it will be up to them to help keep the planet in balance after the Earth changes. These children must be taught every aspect of nature. First, the reverence and the respect of the divic kingdoms must be understood by all who reside on the planet. After the Earth changes, it will not be too hard to explain it to them. Now is the time to find the right flower essence and the combinations of flower essence to help activate those on the planet referred to as starseed walk-ins and lightworkers. This will help set up vibrations that will help them remember who they are and why they are here. It will calm their emotional nature and free them from all negative Earth programming that has kept them in bondage for so long. It will strengthen their mind, body, and spirit toward a greater balance for the whole. Remember that every day that flower essence as well as gem lexars are taken, then initiation of the spirit is definitely at hand. Go now and produce these things that your mind, heart, knows to be true. Take the crystals that were activated and coded in the Great Pyramid of Giza and distribute them to those that need additional help and activation. Also plant crystals at the base of trees, granite rocks, streams, and lakes, or any place where balance needs to be. Though tiny in size, each have been coated with energy 7 million times celestial power. You have not yet a machine on Earth with which to measure such stones. Once a crystal is planted, it will resonate and become like your domino theory. These tiny crystals will represent the balancing beam between nature and man. So be it. Signed, Lavendar. The next one was written on December 9, 1985 in Aruba. The subject, Laser Thought. Many star people, walk-ins, and light workers have the psychic ability to use laser thought projections. This is a form of psychic surgery in a sense, excluding all other thoughts, feelings, and emotions. A beam of energy can be sent to the cerebellum of thought projection and delete, transform, recreate, mold, build, whatever term suits the occasion. It is true that thoughts are indeed things, but with the use of laser thoughts, one is not afforded the luxury of a half thought. In other words, this is to be taken quite seriously, and those that kid around or play with laser thought will end up on the top of the heap of misguided intentions. to reshape the physical body using crystals, flower essence, acupuncture, and proper sound vibration can easily be done. Do not take lightly the extension of energy that goes on for 24 hours or more during this readjusting process. Cleansing, such as water baths or showers, should be avoided until 24 hours have passed. The way of the spirit and body have to be set, and water breaks the frequency. There are many ways to reshape the body beautiful. More instruction is forthcoming about these procedures that align face and body to third-dimensional crystal restructure. This is not new for the rejuvenation process. Many on the planet have attuned to this information and watch for others to come forward with matching codings. This one is marked July 23, 1987, Glorieta, New Mexico. Subject: Experiencing Past Lives. Experiencing past lives may be an important step in spiritual understanding, but after August 1987, the need to live in past experiences will no longer be as important to the seeker. There comes a time, even in spiritual development, that one learns not to look over their shoulder anymore. In the Bible, it talks of Lot's wife who looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah and was turned into stone. She could not or would not leave the past behind. In her desire to hold on to the past, she bound herself to the past in a rigid, solid way of stone. Let the story of Lot's wife be a lesson to all those holding on to fantasies of remembrance systems of past lives. Ask your guidance to be released from the wheel of karma of past lives. It is your divine right to be free, free of the past, in order to live in the present. May 1st, 1986, Aruba. Subject: The Art of Forgiveness. The art of forgiveness, which begins with self, establishes the stopping of the pendulum of cause and effect. If applied with trust, honesty, and impeccability, forgiveness transforms all discords and harmonics of emotional expression. Forgiveness is trusting that fairness of situations is not up to the ego to decide, but a much higher power which disperses the ray of grace. Grace by law is unconditional love, and forgiveness resonates to this law. Unconditional love, forgiveness, and grace spiral together in divine light, which enhances the spirit to soar higher in other dimensional realities. If you cannot forgive, you cannot soar. September 7th, 1984, the day Mercury goes direct. Subject: Balancing Your Energies for Your Mission. It has been brought to the attention of those in charge of celestial guidance that several starseed walk-ins and light workers have forgotten their mission or never knew what it was in the first place. Because of heavy earth programming or perhaps not being able to pick up instructions because of negative interference, some people with celestial assignments have veered off the path and are no longer able to complete their missions on earth. Here are a few questions designed to help those who are truly interested in their missions. Do you remember which path you chose to work with and on? Do you have direction every day from your source? Do your priorities include balance for people like yourself and for the planet? Do friends, family, or others plan your time every day? And if they do, then what path do they follow? Are your energies designed for the short-term plan, or do they include a long-term plan? Do you walk alone on your path, or does your mate also join you in your mission? Are you willing to give up everything you know to be true for new information? Do personal judgments of likes and dislikes interfere with your point of observation of what is to be done for the whole of others, like yourself and the planet? Do you have a great desire for helping to bring in the new children? Are you willing to take responsibility for being who you are, no matter what happens because of your decision. Can you think in terms of the big picture instead of a small picture of everyday life? Can you do an assignment based on the whole, knowing that it will change your friends, community, and other things you deem important? And last, can you remain strong when everyone and everything that you thought important is gone? Please think on these things and answer to yourself honestly.
Well, there was a lot of interesting points there, Lavendar. Can you answer some questions at this moment? Because I have some.
Okay, all right, go ahead.
The one main thing that I was wondering about, because you said that a lot of Atlantis is being replayed now to give us an opportunity to not make the same mistakes. And I wondered if cell phones and cell phone towers are kind of serving the same purpose as the Atlantean headsets as far as mass control.
Oh, yes. That is definitely one of the old Atlantean technologies revisited, but in a different way, because there are so many cell phone towers now that are hooked up to HARP and mind control technologies from the satellites. So it's a much different level now. In fact, in some ways, it's more dangerous now than it was in Atlantis, to believe it or not. That, I mean, it's very, very critical.
Well, because even if you don't own a cell phone and refuse to use one, if you live within, 3 miles of a cell phone tower, you're still getting it.
Yes, that's true.
So you have no choice.
And they're everywhere. I mean, you can't, it's almost impossible to be anywhere anymore without having a cell phone tower affect you in some manner.
Unless you have some technology that is defending you from the other technology.
And that's why so many starseed are now, you know, finding these zero pendants that I've talked about, or this other technology, the MRS-2000. You know, there's so many different products now that were actually invented by some of these Tesla kids that are helping people get through their electromagnetic disturbances that are happening to them through the computers, the cell phones, the cell phone towers. You know, we're just a mass of networking down here on the planet now with electromagnetics just flying freely. When you think of billions of pieces of information running through your cells that aren't yours, conversations of other people, just because you don't know about it doesn't mean it's not happening. You know, understanding is not a prerequisite for a happening.
Well, we all have to remember that. So, and certainly, I know that everybody may have experienced this and not quite tracked it in the way that you or subsequently I would do. But let me just ask the broad question: if you've ever had a phone conversation with someone, and before you talk to them, you were feeling fine and content and peaceful and all that, and after you talk to them, even though the subject matter may have been innocuous, you hang up the phone and you feel like you've been hit by something.
Yeah, true.
Aren't there frequencies that can be passed through communication lines, whether it's a landline or cell phone or whatever, that can knock you off balance? And if you don't have the tracking to realize that that's what it was, you could be more vulnerable to that kind of occurrence.
That's true. Very true. And there's times I noticed that there's waves of energy that comes from the sun that, you know, there's energies that go in and there's energies that go out, and there's times when I know that I just can't be on the phone or I can't be in front of a computer because it'll be intensified on certain days. There's just waves of energy, you know, when you think of all the planets and the sun and the electromagnetics all going to work together, in a harmonic that's not peaceful. you just have to sometimes go sit in your chair and wait till you write it out.
I couldn't help but wonder, you said that Poseidon was poisoned. Do they know who did it? Did they know who did it?
Was you it know, I son? Used to know. I'd have
was
to look back in my other files to find out. Yeah, I don't know that right now.
Okay. And do you want to talk about Atlantis and the moon?
Atlantis and the moon, what?
How there used to be two?
Oh, yes, there used to be two moons, yes. And that there was a gigantic explosion that destroyed the second moon.
Caused by?
Well, it was part of a warfare that happened.
And?
I'll have to go back in my files and I'll get that out and do a whole explanation on that at some point.
Well, just a further major piece of misuse of power that contributed to the ultimate destruction of Atlantis. And I had a curiosity, curious about something. You said that Atlantis is, you know, under the Atlantic Ocean somewhere. And does it have anything to do with, does Atlantis have anything to do with the Bermuda Triangle?
Yes, there definitely are some technologies that were left, and they go off periodically, and that's why some of the ships and planes disappear.
Okay, so I know it's a big big mystery to a lot of people, but I've always thought that there was something Atlantean related that was going off. And is the big crystal still down there somewhere?
Yes, it is.
So it just kind of spasms once in a while and causes these weird things to happen, and then other times it's fine, and
yeah.
Then people say there's no such thing.
That's right.
Because it is intermittent. Okay, well...
you want to go to the chat room or see if we have some questions at this point before we go on?
Yes, we do, and I see that your special guest is with us.
Okay.
As well. So let me just check in with Sierra. Hello, Sierra.
Hello.
How are things in the chat room this evening?
They are very busy and very active in the chat room. There's a lot of energy in the chat room tonight. I have a hard time.
So they're very chatty. Well, are there any questions that you can think of that would specifically come at this time?
Yes, there is. To the energy that goes through all the cell phone towers, there's a question about, do we have to go off the grid in order to not make the same mistakes again? That's the first question.
To go off the grid, are you mean like move away from the grid or?
Yeah, move away from the energy, you know, stop using cell phones, you know, all of that, going off the grid, completely detaching yourself.
Well, the way the cell phone towers now, you can't really escape it. You can't escape it. And the cell phone towers and the cell phones are staying, so there's no way to, you know, unless all of humanity wakes up and goes, we can't do this anymore, and that's not going to happen. So you just have to adjust yourself to knowing that this is going on and educate yourself and get technologies to protect yourself and your family and your animals.
Okay. What's the best way to work with the ley lines and pyramids to help Mother Earth? What can we do to contradict or to put up stand our ground to oppose or deactivate all the tower energy and stuff like that that's going on up there?
There is a group of people that have taken it upon themselves to plant certain devices around cell phone towers, and I don't know how they're doing. I haven't checked lately. But they go around the country and they simply plant these devices to diffuse the disharmonics of the cell phone towers. as far as the ley lines, you know, the ley lines is something that is really done from galactic spaces, and not many on the planet are really equipped to do a lot of ley line work. It sounds good. It, you know, you think that you're going to a place and standing on the ground and doing something, but what it does is it just strengthens you as a starseed and helps you to make proper decisions. And the pyramids are holding balancing beams that run through the grids, run through the crystal grid system and through the 33 gem power points on the planet. So if you go to these places in South America or in Egypt or here in the United States, there are several gem power points here, it just gives you the ability to tune in to your own starseed assignments.
And what else can we do to protect ourselves? I know we were talking about zero-point energy, but it's very specifically what has to do with the cell phone towers and such. They're really hungry to see what they can do to help themselves.
Well, you know, just educate yourself and you know, get these devices and, you know, just try to live a balanced life. Silica is so important. I can't stress enough about silica. Because the cell phone towers and cell phones and computers are burning out the silica in your physical body. It will keep you from sleeping. It will keep you from thinking. And to replenish yourself with enough silica is major at this time. And because of the way the food production is on the planet, some of the products you could, like oatmeal, oatmeal is not as strong as it used to be because they're refining it. I think strawberries are still pretty good for silica and watermelon, but those are seasonal. So
you have to
take
get
the
organic
supplement.
As well. You have to get organic as well because if you're getting your silica, then you might be getting pesticides and chemicals. So it's, organic is always preferable. And I'd like to add that the silica also, I mean, I call it the happy pill because a couple hours after I take it every day, I just get this surge of happiness, contentment, peacefulness, you know, enthusiasm, things that you spend too much time on the cell phone or in front of a computer, and you just kind of get a little ornery. So it's really, I mean, at least I do, it's so critical. And
yeah, because you get cross and whiny, yeah.
Yeah, well, and I said to you the other day, Lavendar, that I was going to tell our audience as well because we, you know, we talk to a lot of people and we see patterns throughout Starseed community that people want, they want the ship desperately. They want to communicate with the ship. They want the ship to help them. It's like, how come they don't, you know, specifically one person said, you just take this negativity away from me. Well, again, if you don't have the silica, there's not a thing they can do because there's no connection. It's like having no service, you know, like a dead cell or something on the, as far as in cell tower terms. So if you want help from the ship, you've got to have enough silica. Otherwise, there's just nothing they can do. The ropes don't meet and tie up, so to speak. So, yes, silica, there's a lot of different varieties and forms. And I know, Lavendar, you're testing another form of silica now, and as soon as you have an evaluation of that, we'll share it with you. But any silica is better than none. You can get horsetail extract anywhere. I mean, even, you know, mainstream grocery stores probably have it, but certainly any health store would have it. So, any other questions, Sierra?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Let's see. There is a question. Was there a meteor that actually hit the Atlanta area?
Atlantis or Atlanta?
Sorry, Atlantis, I apologize. Was there a meteor that hit the Atlantean area, Atlantis?
I don't really have any information about that.
Okay.
Not to my knowledge.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And then
what are the effects of chemtrails? There's a lot of, I'm just going to put a little information in here. You know, Jesse Ventura did a thing about chemtrails, and they're being talked about widely all over the internet. People are really concerned about what kind of impact it is actually having on us also. Do you have any information about the chemtrails?
Well, they're ongoing. They've been going on for a very long time, and it's just part of a scrub some powers that be decided that a lot of people needed to leave the planet, and so they, you know, keep doing it, and I don't see it stopping anytime soon. However, I have been given information that there are certain groups that are taking it upon themselves to try to shut it down.
Okay, great.
Again, is there any defense that you know of?
We just have to keep your immune system strong and to take things, to take the metals out of your body. You know, there's different products that can take metals out of your body, and you just need to research that and find the one that works for you.
Well, I personally know that N-acetylcysteine in its effervescent form does a great job at that. There's more information about that on our site because it is a great product. And also there's a chip that you can get for your cell phone as well as the, you know, zero-point pendants and things like that. The chip, we have a link to the website where you get that. We're not affiliated with them, but it's there on the site because it's something that you need to know. So, and it's from Gaia Wellness. So, anything else from the chat room?
No, not at this time.
Okay.
Why don't we bring on our secret guest?
Oh, okay, Sierra, I'll check back with you in a little bit.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, well, Lavendar, would you like to introduce our guest?
Yes.
Yes, and I have your microphone open, so you're on the air, but let Lavendar introduce you.
Karen Dolan, are you there?
I am.
Karen,
thank
we're
so
happy to have
me.
You on, and last week we were so sorry that we couldn't, or 2 weeks ago, we couldn't get you on the air. And if everyone remembers, Richard Dolan was on giving us a report about his book, AD, After Disclosure. And so Karen, she's the host Through the Keyhole. She's had that show since 2007. She's called the First Lady of Paranormal Radio, and on her live radio show, she has interviewed some of the most, pardon me, most prolific and knowledgeable people in the realms of UFO research and paranormal phenomena. She hears the kinds of things governments scramble to cover up that paranormal investigators find fascinating and also terrifying. In the year 2000, Karen's lifelong interest in paranormal phenomena was given a jolt when her husband, Richard Dolan, wrote his first book on UFO history. Karen's interest expanded to encompass UFOs and aliens as well as ghosts and demons. And Richard and Karen still run Keyhole Publishing to promote to the work of authors in this field. In 2007, as she began her radio career, Karen gave her first public presentation on UFOs and the media at the Roswell UFO Festival. This, in conjunction with her work in radio, eventually led her to her appointment as Media Relations Director for the International UFO Congress in 2009 and 2010. Today, Karen continues speaking and writing for both UFO research groups and paranormal investigative organizations. Her articles have been published on Richard Thomas Paranews website and also on the Women of Esoterica site. In her writing, as well as in her popular radio program, she deals with a wide range of topics. Her guests include George Nooney of Coast to Coast AM, physicist Stan Friedman, Claude Swanson, Michael Bodine, and Lloyd Pye. So, Karen, so excited to hear anything that you have to tell us tonight. So just take it away, Karen.
Oh, gosh. Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to come on the show. I'm really sorry we had some technical problems last week, and you know, I still don't know exactly what happened, but the weather was strange and phone connections were strange, and so it was just so nice when you called and asked me to come on tonight. I really appreciate it.
So tell us what you're up to now and something that our listeners would like to hear. You know, we really specialize in starseed walk-ins and light workers, so you have an audience that's eager to hear anything that you have to say.
Wow. Wow, I've never just been said, just take it away. Wow, okay. Well, gosh, where to begin? It's so much fun to be doing an interview, to be interviewed, instead of, you know, being on the other side. I'm used to asking questions, not answering them. But it's an absolute hoot doing this radio show. I love doing Through the Keyhole as well. And, you know, it's something I never really thought that I would get involved in. I was kind of handed this opportunity on a platter. And, you know, I didn't quite know why I got it at the time, but I knew I better not turn it down because who knows when something like that will come up again. So I took it and I went with it. And one of my very first guests was George Norrie, who is a host of Coast to Coast AM. A lot of people have heard his show. He has like 4 million listeners. I mean, it's huge. He's on overnight, every night, and also deals with people, you know, guests and topics who are interested in paranormal and UFO research. I actually don't deal as much in things like the starseeds and the walk-ins, and I'm so glad to have made contact with you ladies because I would love to have some of you come on my show so I can learn more about this. My experience has been more with UFOs, you know, more with the literally the nuts and bolts kind of craft and beings who are coming here flying these things and you know, proving that they're here and that there's physical evidence. And that's where people like Stanton Friedman comes in. He's spent something like 30 years in the field of UFO research. And, you know, and people like to say, oh, there's no such thing as UFOs and there's no physical evidence and how come, you know, nobody's actually seen one. It's always like, oh, my cousin's best friend saw one years ago. You know, he'll actually sit down and say, okay, well, you know, here's the physical evidence. Here are the reports from this landing site and that landing site, and here are the photographs, and here are the witnesses. You know, he was one of the first researchers who broke open the Roswell case. And I think nowadays Roswell has become really synonymous with the whole UFO phenomenon. I mean, even people who don't really know much about UFOs, people who don't believe in UFOs, still know what Roswell means. You know, everybody knows a UFO crashed in Roswell in 1947. And even if people don't believe that what crashed was a UFO, I don't think there's any question at all that something happened and that something was covered up so quickly and so thoroughly by pretty much every authority figure that got involved in that, you know, clearly there is something going on and clearly it's being hidden from the general public. And, you know, it's been more than 60 years. I think we deserve to know what happened.
Have you interviewed anyone that has had experiences at Area 51?
I'm trying to think back. You know what, I'm sure I probably have, but I don't recall mentioning specifically Area 51 in some of our conversations. I've spoken with quite a few people who have had various types of experiences, either seeing UFOs or having contact or abduction experiences. But I don't recall speaking with anyone specifically about Area 51.
Okay. The other question that I have is, what do you know about these underground water bases?
Oh, these underground water bases. They are extensive. They are everywhere. They are totally beyond what most of us can even imagine. Rich and I recently had the opportunity to publish through our company, Keyhole Publishing, a new work by Richard Sauter, who is the world's premier researcher on underground bases. And, you know, he hadn't had a new book out in something like 10 years, so this is really exciting. There's a lot of new research in this, and it's called Hidden in Plain Sight. This book details all of his work uncovering official records that these underground bases do exist. They are being hidden from the public. They are in use. I mean, he can tell you, if you read the book, you'll know pretty much where all of these bases are, And, you know, some of them are being used for military purposes. Quite a few are just, we don't exactly know what they're being used for because they're being hidden. And, you know, just that makes me really feel very, very creepy, just knowing that the stuff is down there and that somebody doesn't want to talk about it. I mean, why? You know, what is it? If we're building things, great, cool, we build stuff all the time. What's the big deal? Why doesn't the American public get to know all the details? And why do people deny that they're there when you go and ask? But then if you go and dig out documentation, yeah, you'll see all the paperwork that goes along that has to be filed when something like this is built.
So how many do you think that we have here in the United States?
Probably hundreds.
Yeah. And how about underwater bases?
Again, probably hundreds.
Yeah.
You wouldn't think, and I had never thought of it until we talked with Richard Sauter and until, you know, we published his book and I got a look at it. And I wouldn't even have thought it was possible. But it's all detailed in this little paperback book, this really super easy to read. This is not, it's not rocket science reading about it, but he really puts it out very clearly that, yeah, we have all of the technology required to dig down and to drill into the ground below the seabed and to pull oxygen out of the water. You know, you can build a base down there, and there's absolutely no reason why anyone should ever have to know about it.
That's fascinating. Just, you know, I just received my book from you guys. I haven't opened it yet. I'm saving it for my New Year's Day reading. Really looking forward to that, because I've been very acquainted with some of the underwater bases, especially the ones down around Aruba and over at Puerto Rico. And I've had experiences with some of those underwater bases through the years, so I'm very anxious to read this book. So give your website to where people can order this book.
Our website is www.keyholepublishing.com, and that's like looking through a keyhole. Keyhole Publishing is all one word.
And also they can get the book AD After Disclosure at the same place.
That's right. You can get all of the books that we publish, which is Rich's two books, UFOs in the National Security State. He's published volumes 1 and 2 so far. He is going to be working on a third volume. He did take some time off to write AD After Disclosure with his co-author, Bryce Zabel, who people may realize is one of the creators of a TV show called Dark Skies, which was very much like The X-Files. It was all about the government conspiracy, the cover-up of UFOs, and also relating to the Kennedy assassination. So we get all of our conspiracy stuff tied in together here.
Right. Well, I talked to Richard today, and I said, try to get Bryce to come on our show. He said, well, when he comes back in a week, he's going to ask him, so I hope that he does come on our show.
Oh, I bet he will, and he gives fantastic interview. Bryce is a great guy, too. You know, he and Rich both are just, they are so intelligent, and they're so easy to talk to. They both will be just fantastic on the radio.
Oh, good, good. What have you uncovered about, you know, the women's work on the planet, goddess work? Have you interviewed anybody that, you know, has a streamline to the goddess information?
I don't know about a streamline to the goddess information. I have interviewed several women about their work, you know, is either as psychics. I've interviewed several women who are interested in goddess spirituality, in Wicca, in ancient religions that are, you know, certainly have a much heavier emphasis on the feminine. And, you know, I think that's really important. There are a lot of people who believe that balance is absolutely the most important thing, and I totally agree with that. There has to be a balance of masculine and feminine energy. And it's true that most of the major religions right now are very patriarchal. We're very top-heavy with all of the masculine energy going on. And, you know, no offense, guys, but it looks like the world's going to hell in a handbasket. So maybe we could try something different. You know, maybe it's time to get a little more goddess energy moving around. And, you know, historically, when men want to solve conflict, they start hitting things. And when women want to solve conflict, they try to cooperate. You find some way to compromise. And also, mothers and mother goddess, they don't like to see their kids fight. You know, I keep thinking this. I look around at everything going on in the world today, and I'm thinking, you know what? Our mother does not want to see this. You know, we might not be getting along with each other, but I don't care. Moms don't like to see their kids fight.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, we should be treating each other more respectfully. There's got to be a better way to work out our conflicts than this.
I can't remember what period of history it was, but to stop the war, the women put on chastity belts and stopped the war. What was that?
Would do it, wouldn't it? I remember hearing that, but I can't remember when that was either.
It might have been the War of the Roses or some. I know it was. I heard that too. It was 200 or 300 years ago, maybe.
That's a wise group of women. They knew exactly how to get their men's attention.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The bigger concept there is that when women unite in agreement, you know, it's more than just, you know, denying sex to the men. It was the unity of women that overcame the men's issues.
I know a lot of
that. And that would also be raising energy. I mean, think about the tension that would bring up. I mean, not to sound tacky about this, but that's, you know, chastity is a way of raising your energy. And maybe they were just, you know, raising energy on a higher vibration, saying, let's move above this. Let's not be so base as to just go around hitting each other, okay? Let's do something else to solve this.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. To change the subject just a little bit, tell us a little bit about some of the things that happened at the International UFO Congress where you were media relations director. Can you give us some insight on who was there and the topics and what was discussed?
Oh, well, this has been an annual event. Last year was actually the 19th, so they're going to be holding their 20th annual conference this February, and it's going to be held the last week of February, the 22nd through the 28th. This year, for the first time, it's going to be moved to Phoenix, Arizona. It's always been in Laughlin, Nevada until this year. There will be quite a few changes this year. It actually changed hands. The family that had been running it has finally decided to step down, and it's been taken over by a new organization. And the new organization is called Open Minds. They've been doing quite a lot in researching and funding research and promoting factual information about the whole UFO phenomenon. And they've done some really terrific work. Their website, openminds.com, has links to their radio program. They've got a TV program. They've got an excellent magazine going on. They're a really brilliant group of people. And this is a relatively new company, and they're doing a lot of really amazing, exciting things. And it's been really fun watching them and seeing, you know, where this is headed and what they're going to do. The UFO Congress in the past has been a week-long event, as I said, in Laughlin. Most people know it as the Laughlin Conference, in fact. And they usually have about 30 speakers come in over the course of the entire week. And then in addition to that, they also have a film festival. They have people come in and show documentaries or fictional films that they make up that all have to do with topics relating either to UFOs or the paranormal. And people show these films in the evening all week long, and then at the end of the week, they have an awards ceremony. People vote on, you know, what they think are their favorite movies in various categories. It's just been a huge way for people who are interested in all of these topics to get together, exchange information, learn from each other, and not only during the formal presentations, but, you know, a lot more goes on in between the presentations and in the evening over dinner. You know, people just kind of get to rub elbows and schmooze, and people talk about their research with other people who are working on the same lines. And it's just, I love these events. I really love going to UFO and paranormal conferences because, if nothing else, it's a way to go and spend several days with people who won't roll their eyes when you talk about UFOs. And that alone is worth, I can't even begin to tell you how nice that is. So many
with our group here, they don't roll their eyes. They want to know more. Let me ask you, when you go to this UFO Congress, do you do your live radio show from there?
I have. I don't do it every time, but I have done it from there, and it's really fun. Jerry Pippin often comes and broadcasts from there as well.
Yeah, I first met Jerry about 30 years ago. I haven't reconnected with him, but I've been kind of keeping up with him through the years. And give us the website of your radio show.
The website, well, the radio show can be reached also through the main site that I gave before. It's keyholepublishing.com. And there's a link on the main page. There's, you know, right under my picture, it says through the Keyhole Radio. And
okay.
You can click right to that page. And then when you go to my page, the whole top of the page is all different ways that you can access the show. You can either just play the audio on the computer. There's a way to go into a chat room so you can participate in conversation. You can call in on the phone line if you'd like to, you know, talk to me during the show. The chat room is really, really popular, and I love it. I keep an eye on the chat room in the middle of the show, and I will relay questions and comments to my guests. I rarely do the show by myself. Normally I have a guest on who has usually written a book or done some kind of research relating to UFOs or to the paranormal, and so we discuss their work. And I absolutely love doing this job because, you know, whenever I read a book that strikes me as something interesting that I'd like to know more about, I contact the author and say, hey, you want to come on my show? And it is such a kick for me to actually be able to sit down and spend 2 hours discussing this really fascinating work with the person who wrote the book on it. You know, I just really love that.
Who's going to be your guest, and when's your next show?
My next show will be actually on January 7th because my show airs on Friday evenings, and this Friday night is New Year's Eve. So I was informed that the studio is not going to be open that night. I guess we're all going to be out partying or something. I don't know. I'll be home. But on Friday, January 7th, I'm going to be interviewing Carl Feind, who was an aviation expert many years ago and has taken up the question of UFOs, specifically those that have been seen in and around water. There are many, many, many reports of UFOs entering water, leaving water, being seen hovering above water, and also how they move, how they seem to affect water. And there are some really interesting things that he's collected over many years of, you know, collecting reports and sightings, and he's gone through them all and collated them, and he's figured out, based on his experience with aviation and how objects move through air, he is figuring out certain things about these UFOs based on how water moves when they come by. And
now, would this correlate with the underground water bases?
I wonder about that. I don't believe that Carl Feind has done very much research into the underground bases, but I would think that if anyone took Richard Sauder's work and correlated it with Carl Feind's work, that you probably would find a lot of parallels.
Yeah, for someone out there listening to this, you may want to pick this up and, you know, do the research yourself.
Yeah.
It'll be fascinating.
Well, we have some questions for Karen from the chat room.
Okay, good.
Okay. Let me get Sierra. Hello, Sierra. We have questions for Karen?
We sure do. Karen, do you know what's going on off the coast of Long Beach, California, and the coast of Mexico's regarding the underwater bases?
No, I don't. And I think very few people know what's going on out there. I would love to know. I mean, we're hearing a lot of stories about activity out there. But to be honest, I've heard a lot of conflicting reports. So I'm thinking that something real is happening, but there are news stories going out on the internet that are kind of muddying the water, so to speak. So it's very difficult to get accurate information about what's really happening.
What is it that you're hearing? I haven't really heard much about this. What's on the internet?
Oh, I've heard people talking about, you know, seeing a lot of UFOs out there. I've had a lot of people asking me, you know, saying, oh, what's happening off the coast? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I've heard of UFO sightings, but then people say, oh, no, no, I heard about things down in the water, and I heard about underwater bases there, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's bewildering because I keep hearing all these conflicting reports. You know, like one person talks about seeing lights in the sky above this area, and somebody else talks about seeing something down in the water, and but they don't talk about, like, seeing a UFO go down into the water. It doesn't sound like it's the same object. So it's almost making me feel like there are some real accounts of something that's actually happening there, and then there are other stories that are going out that really don't have anything to do with what's actually happening.
Yeah, okay.
It's almost as if it's being deliberately confused, which is interesting in itself.
Absolutely. Okay, there's one other question from the chat room to you, Karen. Do you know about the hollow earth theory, and what have you heard, and do you have any opinion on it?
I heard, actually, an interview on Coast to Coast with a gentleman who was talking about his research into the hollow earth theory, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name. In fact, I think I'm not sure I knew his name at the time because I came in the middle of the interview. And my first thought was, this is crazy. But, you know, I was busy. I was washing dishes or something, so I left the radio on. And by the end of the show, I thought, oh, my God. You know, he kept saying, this is crazy. I know it sounds crazy, but here's the information I found. Here's the evidence we found. And all he said was, I think this is worth looking into. And by the end of the show, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, yes, this is worth looking into. It's one of those things you almost don't want to admit that you think there's something to it, because it really does sound nuts. But I don't know. I mean, I think it's definitely something we should look into. If there's any question at all about any of these things, we need to look into them. Because, yeah, if they're crazy, if there's nothing to it, then we'll find out right away. And if there is something to it, wow, wouldn't that be fascinating? You know, there's so much of the world that we don't know anything about as it is. There's the bottom of the oceans are still all unexplored. Now, what about the inside of the globe? Holy cow, that's another whole world right in there that we don't know anything about.
Yes, there's talk now going on in the chat room about a wave that hit a New Zealand boat recently. And that there's ships coming out of the waters here off of Catalina, one listener is talking about, that's directly lined up with the Long Beach Pyramid as well. There's a lot of people, I guess, just spontaneously having this curiosity and interest now in underwater spacecraft.
Mm-hmm. I think something is really coming to a head. I mean, there are just so many reports coming out. It's the same thing with UFO sightings. It amazes me when people still say they don't believe in UFOs or, oh, that's crazy. I just feel like, do you ever read the news? Do you look up? Do you open a book? How can there be so much evidence? And there's so much happening. There's so many sightings. And, like, all of the people in the chat room right now, they're talking about all of these different events all around the world, and they're making the connections. And,
right.
I mean, clearly we have an unusually intelligent and aware group of people here, but there are so many connections. How can it be that not, I mean, that just anybody sitting in their living room isn't making some of these connections at least?
Well, what I have found, Karen, is that there is a DNA denial ridicule program that's in the bloodline of people on the planet that was placed there that gets activated anytime they hear anything of this nature, that it's like an implant that just goes off, and it just it crowds out all reasoning.
That's really interesting to say that it's actually in the DNA. I had thought it's just people being afraid. Really,
well,
you know,
that too, but there is
could be all of the above. You consider the amount of the population that is being drugged, you know, pharmaceutically drugged, poisoned. You know, the cell phone, all the stuff that's going on, there are a lot of people who are just barely conscious, just barely conscious. So they wouldn't be able to acknowledge something that is beyond their ability, no more than the bird could understand
you know, how the worm in the earth got there in the first place. They just know it's there.
Right.
Yeah, and I heard that story about some, you know, UFO battle going on, and they were leaking the story, like, oh, the government doesn't want you to know this, but there's, you know, there's battle being waged because UFOs are firing at us. And to me, that just absolutely reeked of the power elite. Those who are in control of the power elite, they want to manufacture a war and danger and fear over UFOs. And it's just, so when you hear that this story about anything that breeds fear is not of your truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just wanted to say that because, yeah, there's so much disinformation. This is when, Starseed, you really have got to turn on your tracking and your discernment to know what to believe, if anything, because, yes, you know, it goes without saying, they are here. They're here for a purpose, and we are here to assist in that purpose. And their purpose is not getting into a fist fight with the military of the Earth, you know, countries. It'd be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, you pull out your pistol and you shoot at a UFO. I mean, that's almost like a Japanese grade B movie. It won't happen like that.
Yeah, but we've seen it a million times, mostly on Mystery Science Theater nowadays. But
yeah, well, I mean, it should be viewed as comedy. So we're just like burning through our show here pretty quick. We do have some more questions, Sarah. Anything more from the chat room?
No, they're being very, very funny though. They're talking about fear, fear, scary, scary horse pucky. You know, they're just having a lot of fun there.
If I could just say one thing about the fear, that's really interesting that you brought that up, and it made me realize something about myself that I had never really thought of before. When I hear about things like, oh my gosh, there's this new flu virus and everybody's got to get vaccinated, I think, uh-huh, yeah, I'm not going to. You know, I haven't gotten my flu shot. I have not taken my kids to get the flu shot, and I'm not going to, because I am honestly more afraid of the vaccine than of the virus.
Good for you. You should
be.
Yeah.
Well, seriously, they don't test these things.
Well, no,
they
rush
them out.
And
there are all kinds of, now we're hearing about all these horrible side effects. And no, I'm not risking my kids to some untested medicine that somebody I don't know is telling me, oh my God, you have to have this or you're going to die. Well, no. I mean, I look at the numbers. I know how not serious the flu actually is. Yes, certain numbers of people die every year of the flu, but, you know, the vaccines don't change it. And the flu virus this year is not, the death toll from this vaccine has not been significantly higher than the death toll from any others.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the reporting has been skewed, and quite a lot of people in the medical professions have come out publicly and said, you know, in emergency rooms, they're reporting a lot of deaths as being caused by this flu virus, and they're just not. They're being, the cause of death is something totally different. So these numbers are all off. So clearly somebody's trying to manipulate us into getting this vaccine, which they haven't tested. And absolutely no, I'm not doing that. So, you know, I see that kind of thing. Or I go to the airport, and we fly all the time. Rich and I both travel quite a lot. Every time we go to the airport, you see the signs everywhere. Oh, my gosh, security level orange. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Rich was out of town, and I went to pick him up, and I said, that thing is orange. It's been orange for like 2 years. Are we supposed to be afraid of that?
Yeah, it's been orange.
Most people don't get to the airport that often, so they don't see it. They walk in, and they're like, oh, no, it's orange. Oh, my gosh, terrorists. Well,
yeah.
No.
it's been orange for almost 10 years.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, when you started talking about, you know, these beings are here and they're here for a purpose and we should help them, it made me realize that I have this gut feeling that I'm not sure I trust them either. And
Well,
maybe
you have to know who you're dealing with. You know, you've got the white hats and the black hats, and you better be able. Everyone better be able to tell the difference, because
the
black
hats.
That's
what it comes down to. I don't
know. The black hats teams, which are in the minority, they're very much in the minority, but they're very desperate to hang on to power. You know, and the white hat teams are not consumed by hanging on to power. They're more about evolution and proper use of power. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason that we're doing this show, is so that people can tell the difference between who they're dealing with and what is their real agenda, and ways to discern who you are aligned with.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not about you better be on my team or something bad's going to happen to you. Well, then you know for sure you don't want to be on their team.
I know. That's just it. I don't want to be. I don't know. I mean, but we're sort of caught between a rock and a hard place. I mean, on the one hand, I hear all these stories about people who wake up in their beds in the middle of the night and they're surrounded by these little gray beings who take them out and terrify them and do things to them and then bring them back totally traumatized, don't explain anything. And I'm thinking, well, that doesn't sound like somebody with a high spiritual purpose that I really want to be helping. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, Lavendar, let me tell the difference between spiritual purpose and galactic purpose.
Well, spiritual purpose is how you, the evolution of your spiritual nature, and the galactic purpose is once you have your spiritual training under your belt and your starseed and your DNA and your records revealed to you, then you go into galactic purpose, which gives you the discernment to know which species to deal with.
Mm.
And certainly you never hear about the people who have been contacted by, and I'm going to continue the analogy, the white hats, because it's a very peaceful and enriching, nurturing experience. But if you don't come back scared out of your wits, you're not as likely to be, seeking help or telling people. So, you know, the non-friendly, non-human-friendly species are so much in the minority that there really is nothing to fear, because they've already written their own ticket out of here just through their own violations. So just align with your high command and your team, keep your silica up, and you'll be able to keep in contact and have them help you with your guidance and with your discernment. So that's the best thing I can say about that.
I do believe that there is more than one group.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people ask Rich and me this all the time. You know, who are they and what are they here for and what do they want? Well, they're not all the same group, and I don't know who they are. And I don't know what they want, but I think some are here to help us and some are not. And
most are here to help us. Most are here to help us.
Mm-hmm.
And they are under the jurisdiction of the Pleiadians and their allies, the Federation, if you will. I mean, just like Star Trek, there really is a Federation. And
mm-hmm.
they have rules. And races that are not in the Federation, they just don't get too far with their violations. So it really, we don't want to give them too much airtime. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't really want to dwell on that.
Yeah. So, Sierra, I'm going to put you back on hold here. Do you have any other questions before I do that?
Not at all. I have much to say about that stuff, but I don't have any questions right now.
Okay. I know. Yeah, we ought to do a whole show where we just talk to Sierra. But we'll do that one day.
Okay. Great.
Okay. We'll talk to you in a minute. Okay. We do have a, let's see. I thought I saw a person with a question about the crystals. Yes. Yes, we have a call from Mount Ida, which I find very intriguing. Lavendar?
Okay.
Okay. You're on the air, area code 870.
Are you kidding me?
From Mount Ida, yes.
Hi.
No, I'm not.
Hi, you guys.
Who is this?
This is Jay.
Well, hey.
Hello, Jay.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, girl.
From Mount Ida.
Uh-huh. This is Jay. How are you all?
We're fine.
I have been listening to this transmission, and it's really, really awesome. There's all kinds of information coming in about Atlantis and codings versus codons and all kinds of stuff. How are you, ladies?
We're doing well. Had a wonderful holiday and hope you had the same.
I did. I did. I really thank you for bringing lots of people my way.
Well,
and I wish you were here. I'm sitting here,
yeah,
and I'm.
You're,
what?
You are. You're in one of the most powerful places in the.
I know.
On the planet.
It's just really kind of butt kicking, but. I have a whole group of people coming tomorrow, and I'm listening to your program, and I am making jelly donut cupcakes. Can you believe that?
Well, we really. For those that have been with us, this is where we spent 10-10-10 is with you on Mount Ida. So.
Exactly. I love you guys.
Yes. Well, it's so good to hear from you.
Oh, you guys, I tell you what, yes. I'm listening to this whole program on Atlantis, and it's just so amazing. The last 2 days, I have received information about codings versus codons. And how it works in pairs, and I really don't understand the whole thing yet. Okay, you listen. You hear my children in the background.
Someone else wants to talk.
Sorry.
Well, you know what? I would like to talk to you at length about these things. We're running out of time though today, and I don't want to make you rush. So, how about if you call back in on the next show or the next, you know, in the next couple of weeks? And because we'd really like to hear what's going on in Mount Ida.
Yeah, I will.
But I don't want to rush through it right now.
There's way too much to talk about it on the phone.
Yeah.
But I really honor you guys for bringing this stuff up. It's really intense. There's a bunch of stuff that you need to know, and there's a bunch of stuff that you brought up that is just so in alignment with what's going on here.
Well,
and
you
so
know,
I
if,
will,
if uh-huh. you if you have anything that you can write and feel okay about posting it on our forum, just as in a instructional, teacher mode.
I can do that.
That would be great.
But you know what you guys have done is so huge, because you're talking about the Bermuda Triangle, and there's so much that there's just too much for this program to really.
That's right.
I know that, and we can play with that and talk about that, and I will do that.
Okay. Well, thanks so much, Jay. We appreciate you calling in, and we'll
Thank
talk to you.
You
soon.
Love you guys. Happy New
Love
Year, everybody.
Too. Happy
Bye.
New Year.
Bye-bye. Okay, we have 26 minutes left, Lavendar, so you tell me how should we proceed?
Okay, well, let's see. I haven't done the Teton report yet, nor we haven't had a bevelation, so maybe we should do that. Karen, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show and being our guest tonight. And I hope
thank
that
you
come
very
back
much.
And maybe we'll be
to
able
anytime.
To be on your show sometime.
I would love that. I've heard you ladies talking about a lot of things tonight that I want to learn more about, so we will definitely need to do this.
Hey, good. Thank you so much. And for more Starseed ordering books from your publishing company, and every week I want to announce this now, we're going to have a little segment about disclosure. And we're going to talk about the book and talk about disclosure at least 5 or 10 minutes every week. And for those of you out there that are reading the book, please call in. Give us your comments. Send your emails to us at Starseed Hotline. Let us know, you know, what's hitting your brain with all this. And can you give us some instructions on how to proceed with some things that maybe we haven't thought of? So we're going to keep the lines open with disclosure right up to the day that the announcement happens. And I wanted you to know that, Karen. And I told Richard that today. So hopefully you guys will be coming back on our show or just drop in any time. Call in any time and give us a report that we need to know about disclosure because we're here for you. That's what we're about.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Thanks so much, Karen. And,
well, have a wonderful evening and a really terrific new year.
Well, thank you, and the same to you. And I just noticed that we have a caller that has some information for you about the Hollow Earth. So we're going to have her contact you at keyholepublishing.com. Is your email address there on the site?
Yes, my email address is on the site, and it's kdolan, K-D-O-L-A-N, at rochester.rr.com.
Okay, great. Well, the caller that we have that has some information about the Hollow Earth, I'm going to ask her to contact you there and give you that information. But I have a feeling that there's not enough time to go into it at this point in this show anyway.
Yeah, that's a huge topic, and we could do a whole show just on that, I'm sure.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Great.
So,
well, thank you so much.
Thank you so
much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, and Trish, I hope you got that message. You email your information, and you can email Karen and talk about that. Okay, so let's proceed. Next week, as you may or may not know, from January 1st to the 7th, is the Teton meetings, which happens twice a year. So, Lavendar.
Okay, so, yes, the Teton meetings. Actually, some of the meetings have already started, and on our website we have some archives where you can go back and listen to more about what the Tetons are, so I won't go into great detail except to say that we have lots of beings that come to the planet at this time, and some of the people that come are from distant places. We have several from the Antares Arcturus Midway Station, the Crystal Roundtable from the Starship Bethlehem, Ascended Masters of the Seven Rays of Initiation, Council Members from Northern Shambhala, Starship Commanders of Intergalactic Federations, Guardians of the Devic Kingdoms, and, of course, the Great White Brotherhood. And during these times, Starseed especially will be asked to participate. And the way it works is your willingness and your consciousness are being measured. And when you align to a certain frequency, they will come and take you out of your body and bring you to inside the mountains in the Tetons, and you will be put through an emerald crystal, and then your holographic form shows up so that everyone can see everyone else. And there's always 144,000 in attendance every 45 minutes, and this lasts for 7 days and 7 nights. And I'm getting a lot of feedback from a lot of people since we started this radio show about the remembrance of these sessions that happen inside the Tetons, and that could be a book within itself. Mm-hmm. So these are the times when you simply align yourself to be all you can be. And remember, ask three times. If you ask three times and your guidance is present and listening, you know, it's like they'll help you. And if you want to remember, that's one thing. But be able to take the responsibility of remembrance. Like I've said to you before, it's not always a good thing to remember. And it's a good thing, though, to come back and start living your life in a more productive manner and more into alignment. Because some of these experiences can, you know, really shake a person. Like I have said before, when I was taken inside the mountain and came out, I couldn't even function for 2 weeks. So it's, you know, it's best to function and to be into alignment than to remember. You know, your curiosity can get the best of you. I believe it. I've been there. I know. And so you just have to trust that. So is there anything you'd like to add? I want to mention that we have a retrograde planet, Mercury, that goes direct the 29th. And then from the 29th to January 19th, we have no retrograde planets, which means so many things are going to move so fast on the planet all at once. Every program. I can just see a big arm coming down and throwing all the chess pieces off and new chess pieces being put back on. And things that have been, you know, dormant, you know, wake up. Business ventures, technologies, environmental technologies, some of the war criminals that you know, haven't been caught, maybe will be caught at this time. Everything's going to go very, very fast. The lid comes off, and as I told Ariel, it's like holding onto the tree as the wind's trying to blow you off the world type of energy, because that's how fast it's going to be in every direction. We'll have tsunamis, we'll have earthquakes, we'll have a lot of people leaving the planet, but that's just part, you know, that's just part of what it is. So, Ariel, is there anything you'd like to add that you thought of that I've missed?
Not necessarily that you've missed, but just to reiterate that if you have been to the Tetons meetings in the past, or if you have not and you think that if you want to be in attendance, you have to make sure you've got your silica. So you have to be in shape, because if you're depleted and you want to go, it's like, sorry, you know, you're in no shape to go. So don't you think that would be a factor?
Yeah, you can't be in the DAW, you know?
Yeah, you have to be really balanced and centered and have you know, adequate silica supplies to come back and still be able to function in your life. It's not like, hey, you know, let's go to Disney World. This sounds like an e-ticket to me. You can't approach it with that attitude, because it might have a price tag larger than you really wanted to pay. So make sure you're centered and balanced, and know that some of the greatest, highest beings in the solar system and the galaxy are coming for a visit. So,
and one of the things that I know that they are going to be talking about disclosure, and they're also talking about this new crystal movement that's going to happen on the planet. You know, we had a big flurry of crystal shops open in the early 80s, and it's going to start happening again, because people are going to get more awakened to what crystal power is. The remembrance of Atlantis is starting to surface. So the right use of crystal power is really, really important. The pros and cons of it will be happening. So that's another thing that's going to be discussed at the Teton meetings, along with disclosure.
And the best source that we know of for proper use of crystals was transmitted to you, and which you have now as an e-book called Quartz Crystals, A Celestial Point of View, which is available on our site. And I think at this point, I'm going to do our Belvelation. We have Belva on, ready to answer questions afterwards. And
I had to read it for her because of her voice, so it'll be my voice reading the Belvelation.
Okay, these are Belva's words and Lavendar's voice. Okay.
This is a Belvelation read by me, Lavendar. And Belva sent this to me today, and it's called Deadly Medicine. I want to share a story with you. Last year, Johnny Depp made a movie that was called Public Enemies. My son was in that movie playing a reporter. He has been an editor for a chain of newspapers out of Chicago for years. I married his father when I was 19 and on TV and modeling, etc. A few days ago, I went to our local grocery store, and there on the magazine rack was a Vanity Fair magazine. It was for sale and supposedly new, but worn from all the visiting readers. Johnny Depp was on the cover, and I wondered if there might be a photo of my son inside, so I picked it up. There are no accidents, so when I opened it up, there was a two-page spread that said, Deadly Medicine, under that heading, which had a black background with huge white lettering. There was a picture of a capsule, bright red on the left side and clear of right full with human skulls. Ooh. I bought the magazine. This story has been circulating around for several years, but finally it has reached the general public with this well-known magazine, plus Johnny Depp's on the cover. The opening paragraph says, prescription drugs for allergies, arthritis, and diabetes, and other ailments kill some 200,000 Americans every year. Will that number go up now that most clinical trials are conducted overseas, on sick Russians, homeless Poles, and slum-dwelling Chinese, in places where regulation is virtually non-existent? The FDA doesn't reach, and mistakes can end up in paupers' graves. Donald L. Bartlett and James B. Still investigate the globalization of the pharmaceutical industry and the U.S. government's failure to rein in a lethal profit machine. This is a 7-page article, so I will not read it to you in its entirety. Many of the cities listed are places we're not familiar with, ranging in population from 24,000 to several million. They go to these people that may sign their consent forms with just a thumbprint or an X. Companies are not required to report all clinical trial studies. Celebrex by Pfizer was found to cause more heart attacks and strokes, and Pfizer suppressed a study calling attention to these very problems. The Journal of the Royal Society of Medicine reported additional negative findings while Pfizer was promoting Celebrex for Alzheimer's patients, saying it would slow down the progression of dementia. Right. Sales reached $3.3 billion. When it did not work, of course, sales dropped. In 2008, the FDA only visited 45 of the 6,485 locations where foreign drug trials were being conducted. And in 2009, according to the Institute for Safe Medicine Practices, 19,551 people died in the United States as a direct result of the prescription drugs they took. That is just the reported number. It is decidedly low because it's estimated that only about 10% of such deaths are even reported. AstraZeneca and Seroquel were responsible for turning patients into guinea pigs, and in April they reached a $500 million settlement with the federal government over its marketing of Seroquel. They're facing 25,000 product liability lawsuits from patients saying that the drug caused their diabetes. There are many additional pages if you wish to be informed by Vanity Fair, January 2011. Do not miss pages 113 and 114. It gives you some archive information as well. One is about Monsanto's ruthless patent-protecting tactics. A very serious problem now and into our future. Well, this is Doc Belva signing off. Read by Lavendar. Back to you, Ariel.
Well, I know that I am constantly amazed when those commercials come on TV and they give you all the fluff first, and then really fast they tell you all the things that it could do. Yeah. So we have Belva with us. Hello, Doc Belva.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Okay.
Well,
it was such a lot of information. There's 12 pages, and it's all provable. So I had to talk about it because even though we have these wonderful things happening to us and the recalls and the ships, we still have to take care of our body, our material body, like with the silica. We have to take care of it and not listen to these drug stories that they're going to save our life and things like that. Because drugs are really, really, Abilify. It was just on a little while ago. Three times it tells you three different ways it can kill you, and yet they want you to buy it.
Well, I would like to think that our audience is not fooled by that, but certainly if you have loved ones that are just too eager to pick up a pill to solve their problems, there's a natural way to fix everything. And I know you've probably come across a lot of different situations that the pills couldn't help, and yet you found a way to balance them, which is one of the reasons we love you so much, because you have so much knowledge about this stuff.
That's why I do the saliva testing, because when I do a saliva test, 46 different things I test. So I test your right lung, your right kidney, your adrenals, your thyroid. And when I get through, we know exactly what's working well and what isn't. And I know how to fix it naturally, so that's what I do all the time.
Well, I know there's a lot of people that are alive because you knew what to do, and I know that they are grateful. So, let's see, I'm going to check, Lavendar, if you have any comments or anything, I'm going to go check our callers here.
Okay, Belva, it's great that you're feeling better with your voice. I know you're not sick. You just got a raspy voice for reasons that we don't know why. You're starting to sound a little better tonight. Last night you weren't doing well at all. That's why I had to do the recording.
Well, Belva, I'm really glad you're doing it, because if they can't understand me, then someone else needs to talk.
Yeah.
And perhaps it's just from being at this high altitude since 1982.
Oh, I had to leave there because the altitude really got to me. You've been there, you know, 20 years longer than me, so they found for something. Okay,
so
Arielle,
so
have you checked with the chat room or with the phone people?
I'm going to check with Sierra. Hello, Sierra. Hello, I know she's got probably her phone muted. Hi, Sierra, are you there? She'll be here in a sec. Well,
Arielle, you're going to be gone next week, aren't you?
Oh, well, yes, I am. I was going to mention that before we go. I'm going to be gone on Tuesday. And I will be back the following week, and Sierra is going to fill in for me as host next week, and we will have someone fill in for her in the chat room. So, Sierra, are you with us? You're on the air.
I am. My phone is locked out for a second. Okay. We do have a question for Belva. Let me get back up to it. On average, how long does it take to restore the body after Belva finds issues from the saliva tests?
Well, as you know, each body's different. And each body has certain things that I have to clear out. So I have to detox any drugs that you had when you had your teeth worked on, or that you had when you were a child, when you had your tonsils removed. All those things stay in your bloodstream and in your lymphatic system. And if you grow up and have a child of your own, that child has your blood and your lymph. And so it carries on from mother to child, on and on and on. So a lot of the people, the grandmothers, took penicillin, which was mold. And the mold stays in the blood all the way down, all these generations, since the 1930s. So I have to get rid of the things that cause infections and destroy different organs. And then I restore the organ and make it back to the way it should be when it was new and young and strong.
And it depends on how far gone the situation has been, is gone, you know, would certainly determine on how much time. But I mean, do you think that within a 6-month period the worst cases are very much recovered?
Well, I talked about a man about 3 or 4 shows ago, and he was given just a very short time. He was going to be dead, and he was paralyzed on his right side, and now he's not.
And
so
how long
took
did it
about
take?
A year. That took about a year. But he was a man, and he would quit taking the things the way I told him to do it. I just wanted him to work really hard for like 3 months and get it over with. But then he would run out of pills, and he thought he was so much better. And, you know, so I had to yell at him on the phone.
Well,
but he's,
you know,
fine.
What?
He really is fine, and he couldn't see out of his right eye. His right arm was paralyzed. His right leg was paralyzed. And who knows what else was paralyzed on his right side. But he, now he's fine. He's back to normal. And they told him at Mayo Clinic that he should do exercises and do some physical therapy. There was nothing they could do for him.
Well, because they didn't have the knowledge and the insights that you do. So he's lucky he found his way. So, yeah, to answer that question, Sierra, it depends on how far out of balance you are.
And how strongly they work. I mean, if you do something three times a day, or if you do it once a day, I mean, you can really work hard, like if you exercise. Either you exercise a lot or you don't exercise very much, then you don't get well as quickly. But as long as they are serious about it, then I want them to learn what I'm teaching them, and then they can help other people. That's the way I work.
Great. One more question for you, Belva. Does having a diet high in antioxidants help detox from meds and toxins, et cetera? So if you take a lot of antioxidants, does it help you detox?
Well, it does help build your immune system, which fights off the things that are under it. You know, when your organs are under attack, if you help your immune system with antioxidants, it helps you defend yourself against problems. And rebuild an organ, I use that actual organ. I use the enzymes from that organ to make that organ completely grow all new tissue and repair itself.
But taking the toxins out, antioxidants don't get it all done, or they get some of it done?
Yes. It protects and helps make the immune system strong, but it doesn't necessarily get rid of the root cause of the problem.
It just makes you more resilient to it.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And then, Belva,
that's a good step in the right direction.
Yes.
It is. And then one more quick question. We'll get it, see if we can get it in here real quick. Somebody was asking about Zoloft and Prozac, your views on that.
Well, it's one of those dangerous medicines that's written about in the book, in the Vanity Fair magazine. It's the way the whole thing started. It's kind of a long story, but they had a bad wharf rat problem in New York, and they couldn't poison all the wharf rats because it would get to the children in the schools. And so they found a way to make the male wharf rat not know how to have sex. And they did it with the same thing that they're putting in our water. It's called fluoride. And then they sell the men things like Prozac. They sell the men all kinds of things to make everything work with a drug. And it's because they're taking fluoride in the water every day that they drink.
Well, generally, I mean, any drug that you're curious about, look it up at the PDR. I think it's PDR.net.
Yeah.
And they tell you all the possible side effects. And believe me, starseed are susceptible to even the uncommon side effects. That's just a real bad mix. And we have about 30 seconds left to go, ladies. So, Belva, you'll be back with us next week. And Sierra will be hosting next week. And I will be with my sweet brother, who is taking me on a cruise.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. So,
Where are you going?
It won't, but Jamaica, Grand Cayman, down around that area. That's why I was asking about the Bermuda Triangle. I don't think I'm going to be anywhere near that. But anyway, I'll be thinking of you all next week. And I'll be back in 2 weeks. Sierra and Lavendar and Belva will be back next week.
And we have a guest next week. Catherine Brinkley will be our guest next week.
Excellent, excellent. And for those that don't know Catherine,
she has Kinetics Magazine, and she's married to Daniel Brinkley, who wrote a book, Saved by the Light. He was also hit by lightning.
Oh, yes. Great. Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next week on Starseed Radio Academy. Good night.
Have a wonderful trip.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.